Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings, travelers from across the galaxy. I am Caitlin.
I am Kelsey.
This is Rebels Remembered, and this week we're still on Season 3, and we're discussing Season 3... Sorry, I know it's Season 3, Episode 5, Hera's Heroes. This episode aired on October 15th, 2016. Synopsis reads, when the Empire occupies Hera's home, she decides to personally recover a family heirloom, but an Imperial commander named Grand Admiral Thrawn is waiting. This is written by Nicole Dubac, which I don't think we've seen her name yet.
I don't think we have, yes.
But she also writes through, she also wrote through Imperial Eyes and some of the Forces of Destiny segments.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is some trivia that StarWars.com has for the episode. So, the lizards that the Twi'leks ride are called Blurgs. They're also seen in the Clone Wars. They originated in a 1985 TV movie called Ewoks, The Battle of Endor. Never heard of it. Maybe not a good sign, but I know how people are some of the fandom about Ewoks. But yeah. It's the first time they premiere or in Rebels, but they've been sort of in canon before
that.
Oh,
okay. I did not know that.
So, series debut of the Imperial Scout Trooper, also called a Biker Scout. So, I believe this is the helmet and the costume that Ezra gets to keep after Zeb gets it off the guy.
Yeah.
The attack in the canyon sees the colorful return of Sabine's explosives, which I always find so cool and pretty when you see the animation, how they're animated. It's not like a normal explosion. It has
there's a lot more colors to it.
Yeah. Hera calls the Imperials Gutkers. These are hard-shelled carnivorous insects originally seen in the Clone Wars on Ryloth, so they're native to Ryloth. But the word Gutkers can also be used as slang in Ryloth. I don't know really what it means, like maybe idiot or just a nuisance is usually because the insects actually are carnivorous and they will feed on native Twi'leks. So sort of entered, it's a real biological thing, but it's also some slang for people that live on Ryloth. In the concept art, the Syndulla estate has a central channel of water. I don't know if you can see it in the eventual design, but the first initial design had this sort of water channel in the sort of the main plaza. And this would be a sign of prosperity because Ryloth does have a lot of desert environment. So having any sort of water being near it would be a sign that you're not hurting financially wise.
Yeah, and I think I'll bring it up later once we get to it. But like seeing her home and where she grew up, I mean, it seems like Sham's very wealthy.
Yeah, I think it's in Rebels Recon of this episode. I can't remember if it's Henry Gilroy or Dave Filoni that said, basically, Sham was like the mayor or the president. So, you know, see, that's why he has such a wealthy-looking, elaborate home. It's because
it's big, too.
Yeah, it's pretty big. So a little bit about Calicoris, because this episode is mainly about her trying to recover the Calicori. Calicoris are traditional totems, this is from Wikipedia, belonging to Twi'lek families, which are passed down from generation to generation. They are shaped to be reminiscent of the species to Leku, which is sort of...
Okay, that makes sense.
And each generation adds their own designs, which denote the family's history. They are generally regarded as a sacred heirloom in culture, and the Calicori is a way to artistically represent family lineage and honor each clan's ancestors. So what Henry Gilroy alludes to is it's sort of like a family Bible that people, I don't know if you've ever heard of family Bibles, you get a Bible and you keep everyone's like birth date, or a quilt. So there are some cultures that have family quilts where each design represents something.
Interesting.
A little bit about Calicoris there.
So we start this episode again immediately, which I found interesting, right on Ryloth.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Cham or, what is her name?
Numa,
since season two. So it's interesting that, I mean, this episode's called Hera's Heroes, which I think also has a symbolic meaning because, when this mission is a personal one to Hera, everybody jumps in and want to help her because she's helped them.
Yeah.
So that's probably where the title comes from. But back to what I was saying. It's interesting that it starts right on Ryloth, and you have Cham and Numa on the little... I call them frogs. What do they call them again?
Blurgs.
Blurgs. Blurgs. I thought they were frogs. They look like frogs. And they're being chased by the Empire, and they're almost getting close to a cliff. And you, immediately when this first started, I was like, oh, this is just on Ryloth. But that's when Hera radios in, like, oh, the ghost is somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The crew's here somewhere on this, on Ryloth. Hera radios them, advising them to turn around. She flies the ghost down low, blasting a troop transport and lowers the access ramp. And she tells them to, like, them and the creatures are allowed to come on the ghost.
Yeah.
And then the this poor scout trooper, he wasn't thinking when he backed up into the ghost. Mm-hmm. And, like, you got, like, five people staring you down.
Yeah.
Hera reunites with her father. Cham says that Imperials now occupy the entire Tan province. So we finally have a name for where Hera is from on Ryloth. And he says he underestimated the commander, Captain Slavin. Somehow he's more precise than he used to be. Slavin made the Syndulla home his headquarters, even taking the Kalikori, a family heirloom. And I think he says something like it was her mother's and it's supposed to pass down to Hera. And another thing, going back to what I was saying earlier, I love how he says I underestimated the Empire because for some reason they've gotten more precise, which to me is like our first indication of Thrawn.
Yeah.
Which we haven't seen him since season 3 started.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting that he's...
It's almost kind of eerie, too. It's like you don't really know, okay, this if it's not Slavin, it's someone behind the scenes mm-hmm. pulling the strings and everything. But it's I think it's growth for Cham also to... For him to understand that, hey, I'm underestimating my enemy. Because I feel like the last time we saw him, he was very overconfident.
True, yeah. I didn't think about that. So she resolves to get back her Kalikori. And I think as this moment happens, like I said earlier, where like she's like, I don't want to, like, it's a personal thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want y'all to get involved. And think either Ezra or Sabine or someone says, well, you've helped us.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes you realize that each member of the ghost crew, I think Hera was instrumental in them joining, not only joining the crew, but joining that family unit.
Yeah, and also, like, she said something interesting about how this wasn't meant to be a personal mission, which I'm like, okay, why were y'all even hanging around Ryloth to begin with?
Yeah, makes you wonder.
Like, I was wondering, like, why were you there? Like, was you just, hey, let's go check on my dad and see how things are going? Is that how that happened? Or,
is there a
rebel cell or Ryloth cell that alerted you to something that was happening? Like, we didn't really get, I don't know. I'm looking too much into it. It's a cartoon.
Ezra dons the recovered biker scout armor and escorts Hera in as his prisoner. I think while he's doing that, the other team is drawing, like, as a distraction, drawing the Empire away so they can get in. Which, to me, throughout this whole episode, I'm just gonna say it, the pacing of this episode was a little bit off for me because that walker is slow and the Empire is just literally slow and they keep pulling them back and pulling them back. I'm like, that's what it cuts to pretty much throughout this episode is Ezra and Hera and then...
Everyone else.
Yeah, everyone
trying
else.
To, like, to distract the Imperials. We did sort of skip over the part how Ezra even got that biker outfit.
That's what I'm saying earlier.
Is this Zeb like, hey, do you have this helmet? Nope. Okay, well, sorry, but he needs your, costume, basically.
Chopper also joins on the mission. He's under... He's got another paint job, and he's an Imperial astromech, which we've seen him don that disguise before. But we get a little more backstory on Chopper here.
Yeah.
Because as they're walking up to the estate, which I think Ezra's like, she's my prisoner.
Yeah.
This rebel, whatever he says. And she sees Chopper, and he's just kind of stationary, like he doesn't want to move.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, like, that Y-wing he's by is what I pulled him out of. It was from the Clone Wars, and he still has issues with it. So Chopper has PTSD, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, and also, like, who did he belong to before Hera? Who was in that Y-Wing?
Yeah.
I mean, assuming they did not survive, or she didn't mention about a body, she said the ship crashed. But I do wonder, like, if he was a... I was about to say Imperial, Republic droid that was serving the Republic in a military fashion. I'm going, okay, whose droid were you?
Yeah.
You know, so I think not only is it him having PTSD of, you know, crashing, yeah, but also, like, whatever battle was happening there, but also maybe his former,
yeah, former owner died. Yeah, I didn't think about that. His former owner, yeah. They make their way into Cham's office, and I love that part where Ezra spots the family photo of her and,
yeah,
her mother and Cham, which I thought was kind of sweet. And they do find the Kalachori, but when they try to escape, which this part, I remember watching this for the first time, the doors open and Thrawn's just standing there, and you're like, oh, okay.
Because I'm trying to think, remember, that have they met Thrawn yet at
no.
this point? That we've seen him.
We've right. seen him as an audience, but they have not.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
I think Ezra says, like, who's the blue guy?
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know. She actually runs into him and she poses as a servant. She goes back
to that French
accent.
But also, I mentioned this when we were watching it. I love how, like, I guess during the Wedge episode, which is literally the episode before this, she tells them that, oh, Sabine's the only one that can go on this mission because she's much less recognizable than the rest of us. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, for you to be the daughter of the yeah. big kahuna of Ryloth, and your plan to be in disguise is to just take the goggles off.
Yeah.
And I think even you mentioned, I don't know if we confirmed it, but it looks like she's still wearing her badge
or rank. Yeah.
Yeah.
She might not be, but that's what
maybe,
it looks like.
It looks like it. Maybe the animators forgot to take it out, but I'm like, that's not really good of a size, Hera. I don't know what you were thinking about.
My question
there.
Is, why did she have to go? Why couldn't Ezra just went in there by himself? But then I'm thinking, he doesn't know where this Kalachori is or even what it looks
like.
He
doesn't even, he's never been to her home.
Yeah.
You know, she knows exactly where that office is.
True.
She, even when she says about when they go to the, I guess, the bottom floor, and Ezra says, what's in here? She's like, it was a place to sneak a melee run, which was kind of cute. Like, mm-hmm. just where she went to hide to eat a snack or whatever. So that kind of gives the audience knowledge that, because she knows the layout of the land of this place.
True.
So that might explain why she went.
Mm-hmm.
And she was probably the only one that could go, but still, I might have picked a better disguise than to
yeah.
take my goggles off.
Yeah, exactly. She poses as a servant, and he takes an interest in her and the Kalachori. And then he quickly deduces who she is and the Kalachori, which is interesting that Thrawn knows the Twi'lek culture.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he's a weird dude. Anyway. and then, even more surprising, he stuns Ezra.
Yeah.
Before he even takes his helmet off or anything, he just, like, stuns him right away. Mm-hmm. Which, I'm like, how did you even... I don't know, maybe...
Then he says something like, I knew that you'd be having a friend nearby or something.
Yeah, but, like, maybe what gave Ezra away is when he said, bring her here to me. Or something, or step forward, and he goes with her.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been what gave Ezra away.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
When he stepped forward with
her. I will say, the exchange between Hera and Thrawn, I always love that mm-hmm. scene. Just how sassy she is once he figures out who she is.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember my favorite line. There's a lot of, like, good lines in their exchanges, but she says something like, our will to be free is what's going to beat you, is my favorite.
Mm-hmm. And she, what I love about that too is once she knows she's been found out, she's not very fearful. She just immediately is like, drops the accent, yeah. and then the confidence is still there. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. okay, you know who I am, so
yeah,
whatevs.
Also, we get some interesting things about Thrawn is like how for the audience to know how smart he is and mm-hmm. be able to not only deduce her identity. Which for me, it's like, wouldn't be that hard, but also, like, being able to deduce that Ezra was in disguise with her mm-hmm. on this mission. And also, with Thrawn, we have this really weird exchange between him and Captain Slavin about the Kalachori, how he's wanting to keep it.
Yeah.
And I think it's when they have that exchange, and then they're about to put them in the little, I guess, prison hold or something. Mm-hmm. And Hera says, if I knew you would keep it, I would just smash it. When I had the chance, because mm-hmm. that's a family that belongs to a family doesn't belong to you.
Right.
But then I think Slavin suggests, he calls it Twi'lek trash. You just throw it in the garbage. And mm-hmm. then
he grabs him
by the collar.
I remember when this happened, Twitter was like going crazy. Like, oh, we actually saw Thrawn snap. Because he grabs him at first. He's really angry. And then he just kind of like, oh, well, I forget that you don't know about art and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what was that?
Yeah, and then like, all I know is like, he really likes art. Even when it's not his, apparently.
Apparently, like, yeah.
Which brought up interesting conversations. We were talking, we saw that scene, and then we were like, I think you asked, you're like, yeah. Wasn't there a Nazi who kind of did the same thing with taking people's art and things? And I'm like, who was that? I couldn't remember. It was Hermann Göring,
I believe. Göring, yeah. And he had tons and tons and tons of stuff that
he just took.
Paintings and, well, I mean, a lot of Nazis did for money, but I don't know. He felt like he was actually collecting it.
Well, the Monuments Man, which was, I believe, British and American soldiers uncovered his collection. So it was, I think we looked at the documents, like trucks and trucks of art and furniture and cases, suitcases and all of this stuff, which, ugh. But anyway, yeah. So apparently plundering is common in wartime, but.
Yeah, but what's even more despicable about Thrawn is he plunders and takes stuff, mainly art and cultural, think of his cultural significance, but then has this facade of like, I'm a collector. Fine thing. I'm like, they're not yours, though. You know? Like,
yeah.
It's just creepy and weird, and I don't. If you want art, paint yourself a dang picture. Like, why do you gotta take stuff that, I don't know.
You see him going to art class?
Thrawn with a beret and an easel.
I use the blah, blah, blah technique of blah, 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 or whatever.
He probably could. Like, look at this line. Isn't it a great line? I think Thrawn comes up with this plan to, in order to lure Cham out, use Hera and Ezra as prisoners.
As bait,
basically. And I think he watches from afar at this point, after this point, just to see what Hera's going to do. So Slavin contacts Cham and the Ghost crew, who still have been luring this walker away.
Yeah, we get intercuts of that.
And they are engaged with a firefight with Imperials. Slavin says that Hera and Ezra will be executed unless Cham surrenders to the Empire, which, what I love about Cham is no second thought, like, it's my daughter, I'm gonna go ahead and give up.
Yeah, and even, I think, I forgot who it is, says, no, you're too important to give yourself up, and he says, it's my daughter, I would give up anything to, like, mm-hmm. to get for her safety, which, yeah, really sweet moment.
And then we cut to Hera and Ezra in the cell, and I love this moment because seeing a more side to Hera with her guard down, it felt like her guard was down. Like,
yeah.
More, and talking about, like, I'm sorry, this was a personal mission, because Hera's always that person between personal and, you know,
Logic,
and, I mean, we saw it
in
her interactions with Kanan before they went to Malachor, like, not want to talk about her feelings because it's about the rebellion. I won't talk about that. So it's interesting hearing her like, I'm sorry, this was personal. I shouldn't drag anybody into this, you know. And I think Ezra says, well, we wanted to for you, but yeah.
Like you said, she'll use military operations. It's almost like I'm going to throw myself into work to distract myself from other things that I don't want to talk about. You know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like, having that candid moment with Ezra shows, like, well, in that moment, like, this is what you're struggling with. Mm-hmm. And so, and then she's like, okay, now how are we going to get out of here? And then she goes back into sort of the logic of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
she tells Chopper, I think he's the one that comes to save them. And she tells him to gather as much explosives as he can. And I think Ezra says, which is such a sweet little line, where he says, you blow up your house, you know, your home. And she said, my home is my crew.
Yeah.
Which is, like, so sweet.
It's like, it's not a physical place. It's the people, you know.
Yeah, and the fact, though, she's willing to blow up her house, though, just gets me. I'm like, really? Which,
yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, though, because it's really not her house anymore, if you think about it.
Yeah. I think even, I believe it's Vanessa Marshall on Rebels Recon said that about the most dangerous people, the ones that have nothing to lose. Like, she doesn't care if her home gets filled up. she's, you know.
No, I mean, especially when you got a bunch of Imperials walking around in it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hera and Ezra are handed over to the rebels. And I think, like, there's, like, it's kind of like a prisoner exchange, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she tells Jam, like, she's like, I'm so sorry. And he thinks she's talking about, I got caught. He's like, yeah. Oh, no, it's fine. She's like, no, I'm sorry about the house. And Chopper blows it up.
And also Cham's reaction, like, oh, you're serious? And what?
What? Slavin orders his troops to fire. Kanan halts their attack, blocking blaster bolts and redirecting a missile toward a walker. And let me just say, the riz that he showed after he did it with the salute, it's just great.
And just doing that period while blind.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to mess with him. Like...
Salute, that was what kills me.
Charizmaster.
Yep. And like I said, Thrawn has been observing this entire time. Mm-hmm. This entire time. And I think he tells him, like, stand down, you know, they've earned their victory. And he says, like, he calls it enlightening, which I think we mentioned this before, like, every time, this is his first instance with the Ghost Crew.
Mm-hmm.
The entire time he meets them or has a situation, he learns
mm-hmm.
something. But for me, who I'm an impatient person, I'm like, are we gonna have to sit through more episodes of you learning
and letting them go because and you want to learn?
Let them go so I can learn more. Like,
yeah, it's a different approach than what we've seen from True. Other Imperials who are very much not impulsive, but the mission is to squash a rebellion in any means, and mm-hmm. he's very much more patient, I guess, and mm-hmm. learning and concocting schemes and being conniving and yeah.
Back on the Ghost, Hera realizes she didn't need the Kalachori to keep her mother's memory alive. So really, this connection to the Kalachori this whole time is I don't know if we established it yet, but it's been about her mother.
Yeah, and it does make me wonder if her family or maybe Twi'lek are matrilineal, because assuming that she would have passed it down to her, Is it her mother's to begin with, or is it Cham's? Like, I don't know, I just have questions about it, but...
Well, I think Cham says it was her mother, so maybe it's like a... Something that your mother passes down to your daughter, essentially. Okay, that's what I felt like it was. So, she says she doesn't need it to keep her mother's memory alive. As long as they hold on to each other, her mother will live on. And I have this beautiful moment where she says, I'm surrounded by my family every day. And it's in the background, you see, like, Ezra and Sabine and Zeb mm-hmm. and all of them... behaving like a family, and it's just so sweet, and it's one of the, to me, the most beautiful moments. One of the most beautiful mm-hmm. moments in this episode. Sorry, I rambled through that, and I apologize.
Did you feel cheated, though, at the end?
I was gonna mention that, like, what were your thoughts on the fact that they didn't get the Kalachori? Did you think it was all for nothing?
I, initially, when I first watched it, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that was his sole mission, but also you have to take it back and rethink it and go, well, not every mission is going to go well.
Yeah. I really wanted her to get it back, though. I'm not going to lie.
And they did meet Thrawn. They sort of know what he's capable of, so it was almost like both learning about.
That's true.
They both lost. Thrawn lost getting Cham and the Ghost Crew. They lost the Kalachori, so they mm-hmm. didn't. They both sides didn't really accomplish their missions, their goals.
True.
But I think they did learn something about each other. But yeah, initially I felt really, I was like,
I was not happy.
I was not happy that Thrawn got to keep that at all. For and reasons we just talked about.
And we see it later, so.
Yeah.
Dude still has it for now, so. Mm-hmm. Jerk. Anyway. what did you rate this episode?
Obviously I can't be objective because I got my Hera shirt on here. I would say 7.
Okay, I gave it a 7 too. I just put the pacing was a little bit slower.
Yeah, like the back and forth with the walker. If it was not a walker, maybe it would have been less slow. But the fact that it's literally a walker and two Imperials,
yeah,
walking,
just walking and
really slow.
And they push him back. And then they walk some more. I'm like, I think they're distracted enough now. I think you've lured them way far enough now. You know.
Yeah. And I will say, like, normally sometimes a lot of talking and exposition bothers me, but I really enjoyed the interaction between Thrawn and Hera.
One of my things I did like about this episode, I think I talked about with Hera, was seeing, like, a love for her family's culture and history.
Mm-hmm.
It felt different than Homecoming did to me.
Yeah, that's true. And also not have her and Cham be at each other's throats through the whole episode or, you know, for whatever reason.
And I would like to see, I know she made an appearance in Bad Batch younger, and I think she mentions to Ezra, he's like, your home's beautiful. And she's like, well, it's a lot different since the Empire took over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to compare how it looks here and then how it looks in Bad Batch. Like kind of like Lothal.
Yeah, I've seen clips of Bad Batch, but yeah, I need to go back and rewatch the episodes that she's in to see, like, do like a comparative of being occupied versus not being occupied. Mm-hmm.
See, I'm sure it's different. I bet the color scheme's different. I bet everything's different.
Yeah, and I want to see if the Calicori's in that episode too.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's just like an Easter egg, like, just to see if it's there or not. Well, you want to go to our activity now?
All right, what you got for me?
Okay, so I created this activity called Calicori Crew. So we see in this episode that the Calicori is incredibly important to the legacy of Twi'lek families. Several symbols on her Calicori are not known, but I'm not sure if they're in Ryle or Twi'lek language.
Wait, there's a Ryle language?
I think Twi'lek and Ryle, I believe it's the same language, but it's either one.
I didn't know it was called that.
So there are symbols that we can see, but I don't know if it's in that language or if it's just a symbol. So my question is, if Hera added more symbols to the Calicori that represented her rebellion family, what do you think that they would be?
Oh.
So I have printouts of some symbols. Don't know if you can see these. Probably not.
I can always
that we can pick from.
Yeah. Okay.
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 I don't know why I pulled a heart out.
Okay, so for, like, you talking about, like, Sabine,
for the specific, Ezra? I would say the question is for the Ghost Crew.
Okay, the Ghost Crew. Okay, let's start with Kanan. What would Kanan's symbol be? I do like the
Jay guys,
but I feel like since that's more, it basically is a Mandalorian thing, so I'm trying not to go that direction. Oh my gosh, why can't I not think anything for Kanan? What would you have picked for Kanan?
For the ones I printed out, let's see. I would think maybe, because I don't want to get like all psycho analytical, maybe a kyber crystal that's been fractured a little bit.
Interesting. So, like, I like yours.
So like a kyber crystal that's like shown that there's been, you know, because of his time as a training Padawan, having to come back and become a Jedi Knight and the journey of doing that.
That'd be cool.
Also, like, him joining the Rebellion and joining Hera. And yeah, that would be mine.
I like that one. I'm going to steal yours.
Okay, what about Chopper?
Chopper. I love how you literally have his pincher. I loved that. I'm going to go with the pincher.
It's so cute. It's right there. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the little Chopper hand, the little pincher, because I don't know. That just fits him, in my opinion.
I also have, I believe, a spike that he uses when he's putting, like, spikes in, like, communications like that. Or maybe he has
his own spike. He put a spike into her heart.
Aww. Yeah. A spike in a heart. We can do that. Okay, what about Zeb?
I feel like it would have something to do, because I see you have a picture of Lyris on here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it would have something to do with that, or some sort of symbol of that, of the Lasat culture,
mm-hmm.
if one such exists. I don't know. They have their own language. I'm sure they have their own language.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the drawings that, what's her name? Can't hop down. I'm terrible with names. Like, drew on the floor of the mm-hmm. ghost. I'm sure there was some symbols in there of, like, the fool, all that.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to have some sort of symbol of that, of the Lasat culture.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I have his bow rifle here as well.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I thought of the bow rifle with him, but
Makes sense.
Just like, because it's not just a weapon, it's like a symbol of honor and devotion. And
true,
so,
yeah.
Being incredibly devoted to Hera and the Ghost Crew, and yeah. That's mine. What about Sabine?
Sabine. She's so, like, colorful and creative. I feel like, because I know, like, in the Calicori, each little it's almost like building blocks you add to it. It's also like, it can be like a triangle, it can be square, it can be round. It'd be interesting to see what would her shape be too.
So creative. I think it would definitely be a concave shape.
Yeah.
Not something that's not like a cube or a sphere. It wouldn't be like a normal shape, I don't think.
I agree. But the symbol on it probably, it obviously had to be a lot of color. I would honestly, this is going to sound like I'm not answering the question. I wish I could have ask Sabine paint something.
Oh.
And see what she would put. If you asked Sabine to paint or spray paint something that showed the connection between her and Hera, I would love to see what she would paint.
I like that answer. Okay, what about Ezra?
Ezra for me would be easy. It'd obviously be either the starbird or the symbol that he wears in season one.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. The one on his back.
His back, yeah. Because I don't. It kind of looks like the starbird, but not. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Trying to think one for Ezra.
A loath cat. You have a loath cat here.
I do have a loath cat there. That could work for this. Maybe not his personality. I mean, sometimes it depends.
That's where he's from, so.
Yeah, yeah. If you had to create a symbol for Hera, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. For me, it would have something to do with piloting for some reason. Either flight or something like that.
Maybe a TBD?
Oh, that would flight. Be cute. Yeah, TBD.
Or the birds that we saw in
Wings of the Master.
Wings of the Master. Yeah. Something that was in flight, I think.
Would work. An animal or something, yeah.